الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the 18th day of Ramadan, 1433 Hijri, and ayah number 50 is our point of progress. Let's have the recitation.
ولو كان يتوفى الذين كفروا الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم وذوقوا عذاب الحريق ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بغفار للعبيد.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says ولو ترى إذ يتوفى الذين كفروا الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم وذوقوا عذاب الحريق. ولو ترى if you were to see when the angels will be taking the lives of the unbelievers, smiting their faces and their backs, telling them, taste the punishment of the burning fire. Meaning, if you have seen this, you will indeed have seen how great such a punishment is like. Now,
ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد.
ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد. Telling them that is on account of what your hands put forward. You have been punished because of the deed of your hands. وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد. And most certainly Allah does not inflict wrongdoing in the least on any of his creatures. This is a kind of a parable or similitudes being drawn. Meaning, كَدَأَبِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, just like the behavior of the people in the house of Pharaoh and those who came before them, كَفَرُوا بِآيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ, denying the signs of their Lord, فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and Allah seized them because of their iniquities. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, most certainly Allah, قَوِيٌّ, is mighty. Allah is mighty, شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ, and very severe in punishment and retribution. The people of Pharaoh disobeyed Allah. Pharaoh, we keep on saying, is the title of any monarch occupying the pharaonic seat in those days in Egypt. Any monarch was known by this name, Pharaoh. But the worst of them, the most wretched of them, was Ramses II, or Ramesses, who was a contemporary of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Next
verse. الله سميع عليم.
ذلك بأن الله لم يكن مغيرا نعمة أنعمها على قوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم، وأن الله سميع عليم. Your Quran deposition is not a good position, my brother. Jazakallah khairan. Dhalika, that is so. بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُوْ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً. Allah does not change any bounty, any favor, any blessing. Allah never changes it until the recipient of that gift have decided to effect the change. If you are in good health, mashallah, you have riches, you have materials, everything, Allah does not change it to calamity, to catastrophe, to misfortune, until if you willingly and willfully decide to effect a change, then you see the consequence, which is proportionate to the level of one's intransigence. That is the message of the ayah. Allah does not change the condition of a people until such a people have changed such a condition. So if you are in a difficulty, you want to see change, begin the change by changing your condition. If you have been disobeying Allah, you want to see change, begin by changing your status. Attend prayers congregationally, fast in the month of Ramadan in the way that Allah says fast, not according to your fashion, not according to your design, not according to your whims and caprices. Otherwise the change will be something illusionary. That is the message here. That is, just to repeat it again, inna allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وذلك بأن الله لم يكن مغيرا نعمة أنعمها على قوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. Just like the other ayah, إن الله لا يظلم القوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. إن وأن الله سميع عليم. Allah is سميع, meaning Allah is all hearing, all hearing. عليم, all knowing. Because سميع is فعيل, عليم Isfail. It's a style of Arabic language. When you want to describe somebody in an extended form, you use this style. Fa'il, fa'il. Fa'al, fa'al. It's a major in Asr. It applies here fittingly. Next verse.
كَتَأْتِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ.
نعم.
وَكُلٌّ كَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ.
كَذَّبَ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ وأغرقنا آل فرعون وكل كانوا ظالمين. That is verse number 54 in this chapter, chapter number 8, Al-Anfal, or the spoil of wars. Allah said, كَدَأَبِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. Just like the behavior, the attitudinal disposition of the people in the house of Fir'aun and those who followed him. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, and those who came before them, what did they do? Allah said, كَذَّبُوا بِآيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ. They denied, they belied the ayat, the signs, the preachings of their Lord, and the admonitions. فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and we destroyed them, consequent upon their iniquities and sinfulness. وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ, and we drowned, or we caused them to be drowned in the ocean or in the sea, that is a river Nile. وَكُلٌّ كَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ. Each of them was a wrongdoer, a pathological wrongdoer. They were inflicting harms on themselves refusing to repent, and for that we destroy them. Next verse.
إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِندَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ
إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِندَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ The worst of Allah's creatures, that is شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ The worst are those who deny Iman. That is the message. إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ Be, if I were to ask you, according to the rule of Quranic recitation, what is the name of this kind of mud? You know, I keep on asking questions. إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ I am asking. دواب, yes. المد اللازم المثقل الكلم it is the longest form of drawl you know drawl or elongation that is mad مد or المد according to the scholars of Quranic recitation is of two kinds there is natural elongation or drawl to draw That is known as al-madu al-tabi'i. Al-madu al-tabi'i has just one alif. Each alif has how many elongation? By stretch, two. If it is beyond this, it is called added. And it has many categories. One of such is this one. Inna sharra al-dawabi. With three alifs, kam harakat? Sitti harakat. So Allah says, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ Like I have explained already, the words of Allah's created beings, إِنَّ اللَّهِ with Allah, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا are those who deny Iman. فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ They do not believe. So because of this, they are worst in the eyes of Allah. Next verse.
الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتَ مِنْهُمْ ثُمَّ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَهُمْ فِي كُلِّ مَرَّةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يَتَّقُونَ
الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتَ مِنْهُمْ ثُمَّ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَهُمْ فِي كُلِّ مَرَّةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يَتَّقُونَ Such are those you have entered with them into a treaty. Okay? ثُمَّ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَهُمْ But they broke the terms of the treaties في كل مرة on each and every occasion وهم لا يتقون fearing Allah not next verse
إِنَّمَا تَثْقَفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْحَرْبِ فَشَرِّبْ بِهِمْ مَنْ خَلْقَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ
فَإِمَّا تَثْقَفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْحَرْبِ فَشَرِّبْ بِهِمْ مَنْ خَلْقَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ If you have to have an other hand on them in the war فَشَرِّبْ بِهِمْ مَنْ خَلْقَهُمْ try to disarm tactically those with them in the war perchance they may remember this tells you how Islam teaches the believers how to be tactically operative during any military encounter as we read in the previous ayah and we had it in this I told you this chapter its main topic was the battle of Badr And Badr took place second year after Hijrah. In the month of Ramadan, the Sahaba were fasting when they wait for the very fighting. To tell you, this season of fasting should not be regarded as a season for weakness, for lethargy, just sleeping, killing the precious hours and just snoring and sleeping. Read, do jihad. Naam. Pay visit to places where people are in need of being listened to and being given a kind of assistance for a sucker. The Sahaba spend their Ramadanic sessions and times in jihad. That is the main message that Al-Anfal preaches, tells and explains. Next verse.
إِنَّمَا تَخَافَنَّ مِنْ قَوْمٍ خِيَانَةً ولا سواء
وإما تخافن من قوم خيانة فانبذ إليهم على سواء إن الله لا يحب الخائنين. وإما تخافن من قوم خيانة, if in the process of entering into treaty with the unbelievers you entertain any fear or unfaithfulness on the part of a people, فَانْبِذْ إِلَيْهِمْ عَلَى سَوَاءٍ, discard the treaties on a just and equitable dimension. Alright? إِنَّ اللَّهَ, because إِنَّ this harf, إِنَّ يَقُولُ عُلَمَاءُ النَّحْوِ إِنَّ حَرْفُ التَّوْكِيدِ وَالنَّصْبِ وَلَهَا أَخَوَاتٌ إِنَّ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا أَنَّكَ أَنَّ لَعَلَّ لَيْتَ لَكِنْ إن الله إن محمدا إن زيدا إن الكتاب إن المسجد like this. Whenever إن comes, the subsequent name or noun is given a فتحة. So إن الله, and it also means emphasis. Most certainly Allah does not want who prove to be dishonest. That is الخائنين. الخائن plural of الخائن. And it's taken from al-khiyana, and Allah says in Quran 8:27 in this very surah, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. Next ayah.
ولا تحسبن الذين كفروا سبقوا ولا تحسبن الذين كفروا سبقوا إنهم لا يؤمنون.
What is it with you? And what did he read? I'm just asking you. You have the book with you. What did he read? What do you have with you? Now? All right. You have ولا تحسبن الذين ولا تحسبن الذين كفروا سبقوا إنهم لا يجزون. But what did he read? Any difference? The same has fatha with all of us here. His own has kasra. Does that make any difference in meaning and translation? No. According to the ulama of sarf or lugha al-arabiya, usually it's from hasiba yahsabu or hasiba yahsibu, like fa'ala yaf'ulu, كتب يكتب دخل يدخل خرج يخرج, and فرح يفرح فعل يفعل. These are the rules in الصرف. When hasiba comes, they say it has two ways. It is either hasiba yahsibu, that's what he took, or hasiba yahsabu. That is the riwayah of Imam Hafs. That is why you either say yahsibu anna malahu akhladahu or يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. But some scholars are saying يَحْسَبُ is more powerful. It's much nearer to the rules of the Arabic language in its nitty-gritty. Now, Allah says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ سَبَقُوا إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُعْجِزُونَ. The unbelievers should not then gloriously assume that they have escaped us. No, they have not. إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُجِزُونَ, they cannot weaken us, they cannot surpass our power, they cannot go beyond our reach. That is, the unbelievers should not assume they have escaped. They have not. We will seize them, we will catch them, the nemesis will catch up with them when the time comes. Next verse.
أعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن خبرة القليل تريدون بهم عدو الله وعدوكم وآخرين من دونهم لا تعلمونهم الله يعلمهم وما تنفقوا من شيء
الله. وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم. الله says وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل. All you who believe, get ready. Prepare for the unbelievers means of power out of your ability. This ayah prepares the mind of the believers that, hey, get ready for the unbelievers. Any means of power out of your power and capacity, then it gives details. وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ, concerning the faith of ready battle horses. تُنِبُونَ بِهِ أَدِوَ اللَّهِ, so that you instill fear in the hearts, in the minds of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah says, مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, any source of power. Knowledge is a source of power. How many professors do we have? As an example, how many medical doctors do we have? How many computer scientists? How many pilots? How many bankers? How many historians? How many sociologists? How many political scientists? How many? It's part of power now. Are we economically okay today? Or are we at the receiving end? We become poverty stricken. They are saying, Allahu Akbar, how I wish, is not true. But it's a reality that the poorest 10 states in Nigeria are in another part of Nigeria. Why? Begging. People with not good money are not ready to render the necessary assistance to assuage the dwindling economic situation of the region. You extend your hand to be given, you cannot extend your leg to walk freely. If you are just somebody begging, ask him. Nobody should assume begging symbolizes Islam. Does not. Islam asks you to walk. Earn your livelihood through your sweat, through hard work, through scrupulousness, through decorum, through honesty, through sincerity, through whatever name you have in the English lexicon to qualify the situation. So, source of power. Let's study, not necessarily for the sake of certificate, but indeed is also important. Let's Muslim go and enlist in the armed forces, in the police force, in the SSs, anything that has the potentiality of making you strong, be part and the parcel of such a thing. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not an Ummah that is supposed to be at the receiving end. But unfortunately, that seems the lamentable reality of the contemporary society. The ayah is clear. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ. Get ready for the unbelievers by having any source of power out of your ability, by having set of drilled and fight ready horses, so that you instill fear in the heart of the unbelievers. At times when non-Muslims attack Muslims unnecessarily, the fear of the Muslims running away makes the kafirun feel they are somebody. They are not. Wallahi wa Allahu Akbar takbir. The fear is in the heart of the unbelievers. And but if they're drinking alcohol, we too drink. That's all. You're finished. They go after prostitute Muslims to go. Tell me. They commit for 19, you to commit. They smoke, you smoke. You give your houses hire to prostitute, morally bankrupt women. You want what power? Which kind of power? No way. So one of the source of power is the fear of Allah. Believe you me. Keep his do's and don'ts. Then Allah's assistance comes to you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَحَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. That's the message. You do as you wish, you will see what you do not wish. The house someone says, Din Allah maganin wayyo Allah. San rai ke jawo bacin rai. So, that is the message. Get ready for them. Get prepared by means of any power out of your capacity, ability, as we have already translated, to instill fear in the heart of the unbelievers. Enemies of Allah, and aduakum, your enemies as well. وَآخَرِينَ مِن دُونِهِمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَهُمْ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُهُمْ. There are others behind them. You do not know them, but Allah knows them. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. Whatever you provide for the sake of Allah shall be given back unto you. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And you will never be wronged. Meaning whatever you spend for the sake of Allah, it comes back to you. That is natural. You spend one kobo, Allah gives you back. Not only that, double, quadruple, quintuple, centuple, manifold. So whatever you give, if you give just one banana to a Muslim to break fast, Allah records that for you. Oh, definitely. You give just one date, one bottle of water, one bag of pure water to somebody to break fast with good intention, you are definitely going to receive 10 times the reward of what you have given. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Next verse.
وَإِنْ جَنَهُ لِلسَّلْمِ
فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. وَإِنْ جَنَهُ, if the unbelievers tilt towards peaceful settlement, that is جَنَهُ. If they tilt, if they prove inclined, لِسْفَلْمِ, to peaceful settlements, okay, فَجْنَحْ لَهَا, you too should respond positively in that direction. And وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, put your trust in Allah. That is tawakkul. I told you yesterday there is a difference between tawakkul and what? Yesterday I said there is difference between tawakkul and tawakkul. Tawakkul is good. Tawakkul is bad. Don't do tawakkul. Tawakkul is to refuse taking a measure, claiming you are waiting for Allah's intervention. That is tawakkul. The house is on fire. You say, and but Allah is there. I will not put water to quench it. You see, because of my tawakkul. That is not tawakkul. It is tawakkul. And it is dangerous. You don't attend classes and you claim you want to pass your examination. How? You are sick. The doctor is there. You say, no, I will not go to the hospital. Allah is there. Of course, he's there. And you will die. Go seek for medical attention and put your trust. That is tawakkul. You are driving your car dangerously. and you expect not to have an accident. No, it's bad. Tawakkul, do things expected to be done within the mental comprehension. It is accepted within normal limits. And then you put your trust in Allah, that is tawakkul. Such people are those that Allah said, Inna Allah yuhibbul mutawakkil. He loves them. Not mutawakkil. He loves mutawakkil and not mutawakkil. That has to be understood. So put your trust in Allah. Because innahu huwa as-sami'ul alim. Allah is as-sami', the one that hears most. Al-alim, and who knows most. Now. Allah says, وَإِنْ يُرِيدُوا أَنْ يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَبَّكَ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. But even the process, O ye messenger of Allah, if they intend to sidetrack you, let me use this English. Otherwise, yakhda'uka should be, if they intend to double cross you or to cheat you from al-khida'a, okay, فَإِنَّ حَزْبَكَ اللَّهُ. Allah is enough for you. That is why it's good to be saying حَزْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِيمَ الْوَكِيلِ or حَزْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِيمَ الْوَكِيلِ نِيمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِيمَ النَّصِيرِ. هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ. It is Allah who supported you through His succor. وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and again by the power of the believers around you. That is Allah sustain you through His assistance, succor and help, and by the virtue of the believers around you. Next ayah.
وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ.
نعم.
لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ.
نعم.
This
ayah tells us no amount of material spendings can win the heart of a true believer. A true believer, his heart is not won by merely what you give him, and you are calling him to do what is bad, if he is a good believer. Allah says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. It is Allah that reconciled the hearts of the believers. They came around, they surrounded one belief, one principle, one religion, one Quran, because of the power of Allah's intervention, not the money you spent, Ya Rasulullah. So Allah says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. All right? Allah gathered their heart on one thing. لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت what بين قلوبهم. If you had spent all the things in the land or on the land, you wouldn't have gathered their hearts on one thing. That is the message. If you were to spend the dollars in this world, the American dollars, the Dutch mark, the Japanese yen, the American, whatever, the sterling pounds, whatever, you wouldn't have reconciled their heart on one thing. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. It is Allah Azza wa Jal that brought their hearts to rally round one message. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيز or إِنَّهُ عَزِيز. Most certainly Allah is Aziz. Aziz means the one mighty, established in power, irresistible, incontestable. That is Aziz. And Hakim, the wise. So this tells us that really ability and material things does not necessarily win the heart of a true believer, but good counseling, good preaching, and ability to be convinced. That is why you see some people who claim to have a religion. They go around deceiving people. Some of the Christians go as far as Egypt to learn Arabic, to just come and be deceiving a Muslim. Somebody will be answering Reverend Muhammad, Reverend Musa, Reverend Yahya. You assume he's a Muslim, he's not. Islam is too important to hear any imam calling himself Imam Michael. Islam is too important because the truth does not need any glitterings. The truth is constant. Islam is above resorting to go so low to become a deceiver. An imam calling himself Reverend Joseph, Imam Joseph, just to impress us. Okay, so no. Even by the name, we maintain our name. Maintain your own. Why do you go out of the way to cheat, to double cross? Because the proof is not there. Who are you with? The house man says, "Gaskiya batani ma adu." The truth is constant. Or some even go to the point of leaving beards with big count of cherbi, but they are not Muslims, to double cross. And because the truth is not there. Come to Quran, come to Sunnah. There are 1 million plus proofs to prove you wrong. Your position of the Quran, brother, your position of the Quran, hey, don't place it there. Jazakallah khair. That is the message. Islam does not need any embellishment or any ornament. The truth is the truth. Okay? But somebody answer a Muslim's name to deceive, or appearing in a Muslim attire to deceive, yes, to tell you there is no proof in such a belief. Inna deena inda Allahi Islam. And you should learn to be a missionary Muslim. Missionary and visionary. Preach Islam through intellectual dialoguing, through explanation, through convincing arguments. Don't be dogmatic. Don't be dogmatic, but be intellectual in your approach. Explain things explainable for those with eyes to see. Okay. Allah says in this particular verse, if you had spent everything on the face of the earth, you wouldn't have been able to draw them to the iman. But Allah did it because He is Aziz, He is Hakim, and we explain the meaning of Aziz and Hakim frequently. Next verse.
يا أيها النبي حسبك الله ومن اتبعك من المؤمنين.
And before going further, I keep on saying, if really you have been saved, why can't that religion save you from the embarrassment of answering other people's name? You will be safe, you will be independent, you will be self-sufficient, okay, on everything. Then Allah says here, Ya أيها النبي حسبك الله ومن اتبعك من المؤمنين. O your prophet, Allah is sufficient for you. Alright? Allah is sufficient for you. It's also sufficient for those who follow you amongst the believers. Next verse.
يا أيها النبي أحرض المؤمنين على القتال إن يكن منكم 20 صابرون يغلبوا 200 وإن يكن منكم يا
أيها النبي أو البروفيت حرض المؤمنين mobilize the believers for war. That is حرض. Mobilize the believers for war. إن يكن منكم 20 صابرون. If you are only 20 ready to persevere, to endure, يغلبوا 200, they will conquer 200 of the unbelievers. وإن يكن منكم 100, if you happen to be just 100 in number, يغلبوا 1000, they will conquer 1000 from the unbelievers. For what? بأنهم قوم لا يفقهون. Because they are a people who do not understand. You see, this took place during the battle of Badr. Allah was giving courage to the believers that forget about your numerical inferiority. Even though your number was insignificant compared to the number of the unbelievers, Allah said no. The issue is not on the number. It is on the belief, on the commitment to Allah's orders. So he said, if you are 20, you will conquer 200. If you are 200, you will conquer 1000, depending on their iman, because the unbelievers are a people without mind for understanding the true message. Next verse.
أَلَا نَخَفَّفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا فَإِنْ تَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ مِئَةٌ صَابِرَةٌ يَغْلِبُوا مِئَتَيْنِ وَإِنْ يَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أَلْفٌ يَغْلِبُوا أَلْفَيْنِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ والله مع
الصادقين. الآن خفف الله عنكم وعلم أن فيكم ضعفا أو ضعفا. But now Allah knows, okay, Allah has lightened the burden on you. That is خفف. You see, the ulama say what? They call this الناسخ والمنسوخ. You know? According to Islamic legal system, a judgment can be abrogated. In its place, new judgment is given. Example in this place. Allah said, you shall be just 20. Then Allah said, no, now knows you are weak. Allah has lightened the burden. The number you shall now use in fighting the unbelievers, he says, فَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ مِئَةٍ, if you are 100, previously only 20. This is الناسخ والمنسوخ. And Allah said, ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها. ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. A rule could be given and could be abrogated. Like in a hadith, كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور ألا فزوروها فإنها تذكركم الآخرة. I used to stop you from paying visits to cemetery, but now go, because going to the cemetery will remind you of the final journey, final exit, final departure from this life. So previously it was forbidden, but later, I mean, it was rechecked, so to speak. So Allah says الآن, but for now خفف الله عنكم. Allah has mitigated, has lightened the burden on you, knowing amongst you there is weakness and feebleness. That is وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا فَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ مِئَةٌ صَابِرَةٌ, with just 100 ready to persevere, you will inflict heavy defeat on what? 1,000. Yeah, 1,000 of the unbelievers. That is وَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أَلْفٌ, if you are 1,000, you will inflict defeat on 2,000 of them. But بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the leave of Allah, by His permission, it's not through your power, your capacity, your ability. No. Bi-idhnillah, because wallahu ma'a as-sabirin. Allah is always with those who endure and persevere in obeying Him. Next verse.
ما كان للنبي أن يكون له أسرى حتى يثقل في الأرض تريدون عرض الدنيا والله يريد الآخرة والله عزيز حكيم.
This particular ayah, number 67, made the Prophet cry, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He shed tears because of the message in the verse. I did tell you, this particular chapter talks about what? The battle of Badr. Let me ask you, what was the number of the Muslim army during the battle of Badr? 313. Beautiful. I wonder if you know the number of the opponent camp. 1,000. Beautiful. But the Muslims went and did fight. On the strength of Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's assistance did come. It came. Oh yes, it came. And the Muslims inflicted casualties on the non-Muslims, on unbelievers then. 70 of the kafirun were killed. Amongst those killed was Abu Jahl, the most wicked of the wicked. Abu Jahl was key. Abu al-Bakhtari ibn Hisham was killed too. Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Rabi' ibn Khalaf, these were killed. These were, you know, icons of disbelief during their time. Abu Lahab did not go. When he received the information of the death of these titans, he had heart attack. He died. Now, 70 were killed. A sizable number of the unbelievers was captured as POW. What is that? Ha. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to set them free, but they should give something as a ransom. Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, don't take ransom. Those of the unbelievers from my own family, give them to somebody, let them kill them. The POWs, non-Muslims, who fought you ferociously, belonging to others, they should be given to me. Let me kill them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Bakr and Abdullah ibn Rawaha. They said, Ya Rasulullah, yes, you can take ransom instead of having them killed. And the Prophet settled for these milder, so to say, views of Abu Bakr and Ibn Rawaha. So he took ransom in place of their being what? Released. Allah said, no, you shouldn't have done that. ما كان لنبي أن يكون له أسرى حتى يثقل في الأرض. It is not befitting for a prophet that he should have POW. That is أسرى. You shouldn't have done that. حتى يثقل في الأرض. Until he killed the unbelievers that killed the Muslims maximally. Turiduna arad ad-dunya. You took the ransom because you want the material of this life. This sent the Prophet crying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And the Sahaba said, what? We did something wrong out of our ijtihad. Wallahu yuridul akhirah, whereas Allah means the rewards of the hereafter. Wallahu azizun hakim. Allah is aziz, the irresistible, hakim, the all wise. Next verse.
لولا كتاب من الله سبق لمسكم فيما أخذتم عذاب عظيم.
لولا كتاب, had it not for a decree. لولا, our scholars of Arabic language say what? They say لولا حرف التحقق للتحقق. Not like لو. لو is حرف الامتناع للامتناع, حرف الامتناع الجواب الامتناع الشر. But لولا on the contrary is not like that. It is حرف التحقق للتحقق. لولا كتاب, had it not for a decree من الله, from Allah, سبق, that came by, that passed by, لمسكم فيما أخذتم عذاب عظيم, a tremendous punishment will have seized you. But Allah decreed that Allah's mercy is always on you. So you can see, just out of a kind of analogical deduction, ijtihad, they saw the issue of receiving ransom was better. But Allah said no. And because of that, it pained them in their heart because of the degree of their God consciousness and piety. Such that Allah is saying, like you have heard, لولا كتاب من الله سبق لمسكم فيما أخذتم عذاب عظيم. Next verse.
فكلوا مما غنمتم هلالا طيبا واتقوا الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
فكلوا مما غنمتم حلالا طيبا واتقوا الله إن الله غفور رحيم. But mark the end of the day's tafsir until next time, inshallah ta'ala, which is ayah number 69. Allah says, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا غَنِمْتُمْ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Eat ye out of what you got as the spoils. حَلَالًا legal, legitimate, lawful. طَيِّبًا good in taste and good in God's consideration. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and then keep your duty to Allah. That is وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and keep your responsibilities to Him, your responsibility to Him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, because Allah is غَفُور, oft forgiving, oft returning, الرَّحِيمُ, and Allah is merciful. May Allah have mercy on all of us, and غفران, إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Question and answer session. عليكم السلام. I understand you. What did you say? Okay. You see, prayer that one should ask Allah should be during his sujood. Okay? It is in a hadith, the nearest a servant could be to Allah is while during sujood. Nearest to Allah is during such a humbling situation. So put your request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have any narration that is reliable that says you should pray after prayer. I mean prayer
for what request. Prayers are of two kinds. There is dua al-mas'ala and dua al-zikr. There are prayers for remembering Allah. That one is done after the terminal point of your prayer. After the prayer has been terminated by saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and again, then you have 10 things to say. First, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Then, Allahumma antar. Like this, 10. This is the one recognized to be said after terminating one's prayer. That is called dua'ud-dhikr, the prayer of remembering Allah. But saying, oh Allah, give me this, that has not been established after your prayer, should be done during sujood. Hope it is understood. Now somebody has forgotten to do it, preferably Allah knows your intention. Allahu A'lam. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Okay, Insan or Al-Ihsan. You see, in Arabic language there is what they call Al-Ma'rifa wal-Nakira. In English, we call this definite article. If I said the boy, a boy, which is definite? Now, the boy. I saw a boy, I saw the boy. So by adding T-H-E, that is what you call definite article, meaning it is a known boy. If you say a boy, we understand the boy not to be known to you previously. I saw a boy, I saw the boy. So Al-Ihsan means the goodness. Ihsan, a goodness. Which one do you choose? You can say Al-Ihsan, Al-Ihsan venture, Al-Ihsan business center. But naming it Al-Ihsan, there should be Ihsan in the venture. Aha! It has to be true to the nomenclature. Otherwise, you say Ihsan, selling smoking, selling cigarettes. No, it's no longer Ihsan, it is Al-Isa'a. So you should be very, very careful. So preferably choose Al-Ihsan because of the definity in the nomenclature, and maybe it adds value to the naming. Yeah, Wallahu A'lam. Swearing is of three kinds. There is Yamin al-Ghamush, there is Yamin al-Laghu, there is Yamin al-Kafara. Three. The scholars have competently and jurisprudentially spoken on these things with their categories. If somebody says, for example, Wallahi, I will give you this copy of the Holy Quran as a gift. You must give me. If you fail, you fast for 3 days. That's it. Either consecutively or you fast, let me say instrumentally, differently by cutting. That is the atonement for your swearing or for your oathing or for your oath. Is that clear? But if you swear to do something which is against Allah, like somebody says, Wallahi, I will slap you. Say, and don't slap you. Say, Astaghfirullah. Then, because it's a very bad thing. He says, Wallahi, I will smoke. Don't smoke. Seek for Allah's forgiveness. In that case, no atonement. because you I mean you have intended to do something which is injurious to yourself and to the religion, then do it. That is category one. Number two, if somebody says, wallahi, I have 5 naira in my pocket, don't pay, I will pay. Wallahi, I have the money. Unknown to you, the 5 naira was given to somebody earlier. But you swore on the strength of your belief and conviction, and unfortunately you are proved wrong. That is laghaw al-yameen. No atonement on that. Some scholars say no. It is the constant sin of wallahi wallahi. Because you see him catch, wallahi I am tired. Wallahi I am going to school. Who asks you to retain wallahi? So the ulama are saying this kind of wallahi comes as a means of emphasizing your words and the like. In that case, no kafara on that. The third one, if someone swears on something of which he knows it is a lie. Somebody says, wallahi tallahi, Owerri is the capital of Kaduna State. I mean, it's a lie. Unless if he has been previously misinformed. Maybe a non-Nigerian. For example, you can take exception to that. But being a Nigerian, you know everything and you swear in this manner, that is called Yamin al-Khamus. No kafara, because its position is even more dangerous as to have kafara for it. I don't know if I have communicated, I have explained things clear for the person asking such a question. So, wallahi, I will do such a fix things, or I will not do something, and you see something better, leave it and do it. Wallahi, I will not give you this Quran. And finally, you understood, giving him is by far better than denying him. So please give him and do kafara for your oath. Wallahu alam, wa bihi tawfiq. Are you saying you have a walk handy? He's a walker. But I want to understand that whether the parents do not like such a walk for him. Is that the case? Now, if your parents do not want you to be doing this work, you have it at hand. Before I pray, I have to know first the nature of the work. Yes, no? Because work is work. If your parents, according to their understanding, that kind of work is something forbidden, Allah doesn't want it. Somebody gambling is a walk anyway, isn't it? Somebody having a house, gathering young people, showing them films, war films, horror films, blue films at times, is a walk in court. Let's assume it is this kind of walk. How can I pray for you? How? But if on the other hand, and that is my understanding, with good conviction, you have something legitimate at hand and your parents do not want it, it is your responsibility to explain to them, convince them, mama and papa, this work is very good. You begin to explain until they are convinced. In that case, the issue will have a result. I want to believe that. Okay? And if what you're doing is good and you encounter such a problem, yeah, we pray that Allah makes the parent understand you well, and then you conduct the affair in such a manner that it earns for you Allah's endorsement, Allah's pleasure, and Allah's acceptance. Wallahu a'lam.
Thank you.
He has what? I don't know whether we answered something like this previously, did we? You see, Allah allows for a Muslim to marry up to how many wives? فَانْكِهُ مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. But if you know you cannot maintain justice, just marry only one. Some women do not take it kindly that their husbands are going to take second wife. At times, this leads to wreckage in the boat of matrimonial life. I call it wreckage and breakup. That is divorce. Now, you want to take second wife and you have the means. It's good you go and talk to your wife. Explain to her diligently in a polite manner in such a way she understands you as her life partner, not somebody wanting to inflict injury on her mental stability or emotional stability as well. I mean, some men are doing it rather erratically without trying to explain. That is my humble assessment of the whole situation. But there are some women, no matter how diplomatic you are, no matter how kind, she says, no way. To me, it's a no-go area for you to have a second wife. Then such women should not be listened to. I was speaking to some group of women earlier today. I said, look, some of you have the mentality of one man, one wife understanding. You want to maintain your husband alone and you want him to maintain you. Whereas you are ready to send your daughter to another house. There are many divorces today. A lot of young girls yet to be married, and the number, wallahi, is getting multiplied day in, day out. That is a social malady. It has to be arrested, and the earlier the better. Now, if we go by this mad mentality of one man, one wife, what do we do with the surplus? I remember I was asking one girl one day in Abloma in Port Harcourt River State. She said, well, Mala, why does Islam say man should marry more than one wife? I said, you are more in number than the men. Is that correct? Almost out of five houses where a child is given birth to, one, two, three is a female. And men are more prone to death than women. So the chances of having women left are very clear. So I said to her, if we go by your understanding, one man, one wife, what do we do about the remaining women? You know her answer? She said, God will provide. I said, there you are. He has already provided now. He said, 4, 4, 4. He is satisfied. So we are waiting for your own provision. Going back, your wife shed tears because you told her you are going to take second wife. Anything, nothing for that. Depending on how you told her. If you told her harshly, you want to teach her good lesson, that is why you send her crying, then in that case, you must have incurred some sin. But I want to tell you, go ahead, marry the second wife, but be just. If you marry the second wife, there are four mimuns.
مسكن مطعم ملبس مبيت. You have to treat them equally and equitably. Otherwise, if you tilt to one leaving the other one, on Al-Qiyamah you will come with part of you falling down. Hadith says it. May Allah get us right. So we wish you happy married life. Yes. Really, this amount of money is zakatable. I mean, zakat is to be given out of certain amount of money because of possession. That is number one. Number two, the money has reached the amount needed as to qualify such amount for being zakatable, known as what? Nisab. I did tell you that according to our Nigerian currency, if you have 620,000, you give zakat. If it clocks 1 year, what you give is give 1/40. But how does he do here? You know, out of what you have handy, you give us zakat, you calculate. You know your share is there, and you are getting something as a dividend. So out of the dividend, you know 800,000 naira to be divided into 40 parts. Take one, you give. Unless if you are in such an economic constraint that the money goes nowhere, whatever you get as your dividends, you just spend it because of the their need of spending with you. You see, in Islam, zakat is givable if there is no any compelling need. I mean, your own need. So 800,000 naira today is a mega amount of money, but zakat is to be given out of it, really, yearly. So you give it out of what you have at your hand. But in case you don't have even what to give, what you're telling me to give is what I'm earmarking for feeding my family for and the like, then in that case, the money does not reach the zakat period. And if that's the case, what's the trouble of taking it there for share? Why can't you allow the money to grow to such a huge amount, then you think of investing? I don't know if it is clear to you. So if it is 800,000 naira, you give zakat out of what you have at your hand yearly. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa bihi tawfiq. Tomorrow is likely that the tafsir will not hold because I'll be traveling to Nasrawa State, inshallah ta'ala, hoping to be back on time. If we are back on time and not exhausted and tired, tafsir will hold. Otherwise, we should be patient until next tomorrow. Barakallahu feekum jami'a. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.